listening to the UK and the world's favorite wrestling podcast, RTM Wrestling, with your hosts, Andy and Emma.
And it started.
I'm in a big old vape then.
Oh yeah, you vape away.
Considering we're in the hour-long now preamble show,
yeah,
to accompany the main show,
yeah,
where we just talk shit. Give it a drink.
It's like being on your holidays, isn't it?
Feels like we're on a fucking holidays. It's unbelievably hot.
I know, it's fucking awful. I'm sick of it. Let me check my weather app because I want to know if it's over. Tonight, I want tonight to finish now, like buddy to finish, not tomorrow morning, tonight.
Feels like it'll never be normal again.
That's what I thought when I was in the bedroom folding up washing, and it's hot as fucking there. It's like, I can't imagine ever being cold anymore.
Well, we've got it all right because we've got an aircon machine for the front room.
Mm.
So you don't really feel it until you go outside or until you're doing something else. So I feel quite lucky in that respect.
True.
But Jesus Christ.
Today was particularly hot.
What's going on?
Oh, fucking global warming. Well, dude, who cares? Can't control it. I'll just keep washing out my baked bean tins and recycling, do my bit.
Yeah, well, then they just put it in a landfill somewhere.
Yeah, just put it in the sea. Like, I clean it for the ocean.
I saw the tuna fish. And again, I didn't click into it because I got my Google news feed quite carefully curated, if that's how you say it, if that's how you pronounce it, to anime, Magic the Gathering, and wrestling, the odd wrestling story. Because I worked out that if something... Do you remember I used to say, like, oh, you know, something the Kardashians done would pop up?
Oh, yeah.
I can say, not interested in this.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so I've been doing that for the past month, and now I don't get anything. That's all or football, like soccer for Americans. That comes up on it as well. And then the odd like humanitarian story, which I had to say fuck off to. I had to drop it off.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, by 2030, the oceans are going to be overflowing with plastic, and I was like, whose fucking idea was it to put plastic in the ocean? Like, who was the first twat that went, let's do this?
Oh, it's so depressing. Everything sucks.
Well, that's why I knocked it off. I was like, because you know what I'm like. I can't have it. I'd rather know what the next magic set is.
Yes.
Apparently, you're going to be able to use stickers.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that sounds lame.
It sounds so shit.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Put a beanie hat on me, Nigathrod.
Hey, do they have clothes for them? Like one of them, like them things you used to get where you used to like put clothes on.
Do you know what, right? And I know nobody listening to this will give it a flying shit, but I'm going to go. I don't know what the fuck it is. I've watched like 3 videos on what this new sticker mechanic is. And it's basically like, you know, if something comes onto the battlefield, it's got +2 counter or whatever like that. But instead of, you know, putting a dice on top saying this is, you know, now a 3-3, you put a sticker on it. And the stickers, yeah, it's because I've got my elbow on the table. The stickers have different effects.
And it's why not just have counters? Why would you put a sticker on your card?
Hey, this is the question.
And then I understand they're like repeelable, I imagine. But yeah, then, like, where the fuck do you put them? Do you have like a little peely book that you have to stick them all back in?
I think so.
Oh, fuck.
Before the start of the game. And the thing that's...
It's cheap as fuck.
But the thing that they've said is that, as in Wizards, the people who make it, they've said that they want to encourage younger people to play, which is bollocks because they've made it right. To give you a little bit of backstory, they used to have unsets, which were like silver bordered, not legal in anything. They're just there for fun, and that's when before Secret Lairs, you know, the Street Fighter ones and all that shit, Stranger Things. They used to put things like Transformers in it. So it was like a bit of a fun set that you could play with, but it's not legal or anything like that. These fucking sticker things are legal. So you're gonna, you know, you could be at a command night and you've got your normal deck, and this cunt in the corner's like peeling stickers off and putting them on his cards and stuff.
Oh please, no one's gonna do that.
Well, you'd be surprised. It depends how because obviously people are insane that they want to win. It depends how good the cards are. So if there's a card in this Unfinity or whatever that is ridiculous, but it uses the sticker mechanic, everybody will be using it because it's the card to go for. So I don't know, but yeah, I'd prefer to whinge about that than how much plastic's in the sea.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm all right. It's been a bit hot. Oh, that fucking cunt is still hammering next door. I can't
It's 8:10.
What is he doing?
Do you want to check to see if it comes up on the mic? Because I don't think that will. What the fuck are you doing?
How is he still hammering? It will come up, but it'll be fairly muted. It won't be quite as loud, but it's...
What the fuck is this? Right, so this guy next door...
Oh my God, I can't even... Like, what the fuck is he doing? Who needs to hammer that much? What are you doing?
No, I don't give a fuck about hammering. It's the time. It's fucking 8:10. And this twat, right, he's the nicest guy.
He's such a lovely man.
He's such a lovely guy. He always lets on when we go out. But we're in like a group of like six flats.
Four flats, sorry.
Well, yeah, so five if you include downstairs. And then there's a house next door. This guy's had a fucking like, what are they called?
Cherry picker. Yeah.
He's just rented a cherry picker, and he's been like drilling and banging all fucking day.
I was at high level with a cunt before.
It's ridiculous.
Because he caught it around the back, and he was like fucking. It was like going down. And I just looked out. His fucking
but
face.
But he's
there.
So meek. He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Is he the guy who has the car? And he tinkers with the car.
No.
Is that a different
guy? I think that's a different guy. That's just a weirdo as well.
I tell you what.
But what the fuck are you doing at like nearly 8:15 at night? Waited all day to do a show because I knew he was fucking doing that, and he's still going at this time.
But he's not been hammering for friggin' ages, and he's just started again.
Oh, he's a fucking monk. Absolute monk.
We've never
seen him. You can't even say monk anymore, can you?
No, you can't. You shouldn't say that.
Should be worried about that.
We've never seen his partner.
That's going to piss me the fuck off.
I think we just need to crack on. We can't wait.
Can you honestly do it well if that carries on? That's going to drive me up the fucking wall.
Why don't you go and speak to him?
I'm not going fucking speaking to him. Because I'll end up getting
But you're dead
up.
Nice. And he's dead nice. It needs to be a very nice conversation. It's got to be... It's an internal thing. I'm sorry, guys. You've got to listen to this, but this is just the realities of...
He's still he's fucking... Do you know what? I don't think it's him.
What do you mean?
Because I think he's still outside. I think he's still outside and he's cherry picker, so it's somebody else.
Oh, do you think it's upstairs?
You are?
Do you think it's upstairs?
Yeah, yeah.
Twats.
It'll be somebody putting a fucking... I don't know. I don't
Oh, you don't
shit.
Need to hammer that much. I put up like... I put up bookcases and you need to hammer like a bit. You don't need to hammer that much to do anything.
What the fuck are you doing?
Oh my God. We can pause if you want and give it till 9.
No, because I don't want to be here till 1 in the morning. Like doing a fucking podcast. Like I want to actually try and get some sleep. Anyway. Do you want to at least have a listen to it and see how bad it is?
It's not coming up as a massive sound wave. It's coming up as a tiny, tiny, tiny.
But that's still fucking annoying for people listening.
It'll be fine. Let's just crack on.
Oh, I'm in a foul mood now.
Oh no, it
I'm
doesn't
in a right foul
piss
mood.
You off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pisses me off too.
Anyway, I don't think I got that far into asking you how you are.
Well, it was
alright. How you the last month's been since we've done the show.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. Yeah, I'm alright. Just been working, just been going to the office every day. That's been me, really. I've not done anything else. Been watching
Nothing
a lot
cool.
of shite TV. A lot of Below Deck, Mediterranean going on at the moment. Then people pay a lot for them yachts, you know. For a couple of days, it costs like hundreds of thousands. And they tip like $20,000 at the end. As a tip.
And all the scum that are working on the boat are like...
They all share it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, who's got $20,000 in cash just as a tip?
a criminal.
Fucking rich as fuck, these people. It makes me feel ill.
And the fact that they've had so many episodes of it and so many different variations, is like, is there that many people who are that rich?
I don't know.
Like, it's just... No, I can't.
Can you not?
I can't do it.
Let me stop. And we're back. We took a 15-minute break. We think he's stopped.
He's definitely stopped because he's now dead. No,
we've had 15 minutes of just pure slagging him off.
Yeah, it's like, this poor lovely man who's like, so nice. I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but he's doing something.
Fucking break.
Jesus Christ, it's fucking 8:30 on a Sunday night. Sunday?
I know, please.
Is it Sunday?
It's Sunday today, yeah.
I know, yeah. I mean, how bad do you hate your wife and kids for half
sneeze your drink out
at 8:30 on a Sunday? You fucking, like, it was funny how, like, when the football's on, nothing's going on, like, no, nothing's true, going on. As soon as the football stops, he's out in his fucking cherry picker. Just gonna do a few of this, love.
I just find it obnoxious making that much noise.
But anyway, you know. Yeah, it's what it is.
We hope he stops. If he carries on,
he's dying. I'm going to push him off the damn thing. If I open the window strong enough, he's going to hit the deck. So, you know.
Well, we were up to on the podcast, me saying I was watching Below Deck and there was lots of rich people. Bollocks. Oh, yeah. Pure fucking bollocks. I was saying nothing interesting. I feel like I've not got a lot going on at the moment, really. I'm kind of just working, and I keep having to remind myself, as we were having a conversation the other night, we're not long back off our big summer holiday.
Yeah.
So I was always having this time to recoup some cash, just chill out, stop spending money, just get some bit, you know, financially recover and emotionally recover from 2 weeks at Disney parks. But yeah, it feels like I've not got a lot going on, really. And I guess, apart from working...
Yeah, well, you know, I had a bit of a crisis the other day, didn't I?
Yeah.
When I felt exactly the same thing, I was just like... Because, obviously, for me, at the moment, I'm, like, waiting to start this uni thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find out in a couple of days where I've actually got on the course. I'm pretty confident I have, but, you know, there might be another podcast where I'm crying my eyes out because I'm not. So that's hanging over me a little bit, because I'm not 100% certain. Even though I am, it's one of them where you've not seen it in writing yet.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know what the grades of the last assignment was. But... You know, she's so blah, that teacher was so blasé. You know, it's probably fine. But without that, I've got enough points. I'm pretty certain I've got enough points. So I'm kind of just waiting for that. So at the moment, I'm not doing a lot. I'm just playing video games. You know, it shows you how bad it is. I'm playing Assassin's Creed,
Jesus Christ.
The worst game, the worst series of games I've ever come across.
If you were at some sort of support group for people who were feeling a bit blah and you uttered those words, there'd have been a gasp.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, things must be bad.
With all the games that are out and he's playing fucking Assassin's Creed.
This will be his breakthrough. This will be his breakthrough moment where he's hit
absolute rock bottom, yeah. Well, it's because the only Assassin's Creed game that I've ever enjoyed, and I say enjoyed... to a degree, like, I've not liked it, I've just gone, oh yeah, this is, you know, alright, for passing some time, was Black Flag, which is the pirate one. So I re-downloaded that, was just playing through that, and I thought, oh, you know, fuck it, I'll re-download Valhalla again and try that.
Parts of that look kind of fun when I was looking over.
Yeah, it is, but the combat is the worst. So when you're playing a game, for me, like, the bits that really jar me out of it are when the character does stuff that aren't within the realms of physics for the game.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, like, if you walk up to a treasure chest to loot it, mm-hmm. to open it and reap the rewards that are inside, he should stop before the treasure chest. Or, like, when you it should be instantaneous. Like, every movement should be instantaneous. Like, it does it. But Assassin's Creed's never been like that.
What does he do?
So back in the old days, when the really bad ones, you know, you can run... If you wanted to run up a wall and just catch the top of the wall, literally nine times out of ten, the cunt would run up the wall and jump backwards. And it's like, what are you doing? And now that's gotten so much better, to the point where when I'm looting chests, I'm on top of the chest. And it's just like, why? I said stop running. I stopped running. And yet he carries on that extra couple of steps because it's not intuitive. The controls are not intuitive. So he goes a couple of extra steps and he's on top of the treasure chest. And it's like, Jesus Christ. And like, you'll swing his axe and play the Valhalla one. Swing his axe and completely whiff, even though the guy's like, you know, close enough to kiss. And he's just like, just completely misses with the axe. And it's like, oh my God, what the fuck is this shit? Anyway, so I've been doing a lot of anime watching whilst I'm playing like video games. Sort of, I smashed through from Dragon Ball Z to the end of Super. In like 3 weeks, because that was great. Watched Demon Slayer, that was great. Just finished season 3 of Attack on Titan. That's great to a degree. It starts off fantastic, then goes a bit meh, but then it's interesting enough to sort of keep me watching. So I was kind of like, well, I'm not fucking doing anything here. And I said to you, you know, I'll be praying for this time.
Absolutely.
Like when I have When I'm at uni and I'm doing all that kind of stuff, you know, I'll be like, God, you know, you were so depressed when you had that time off. But it's always been like that. When I've had a few months off from, you know, in between jobs or whatever, I've always gotten really down on myself, because you've got no structure, you've got no nothing that you're doing. And obviously, because I'm not earning any money, I'm not spending any money, so I can't just go, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to go to the cinema, or whatever. Which will change on Wednesday. So I've got a big day on Wednesday. With the... So I'm actually going to my first live paper play magic night. And before it, I'm going to go and see the new Dragon Ball Super film.
It's
going to be a big day. But it's little things like that. I think when you're working, it's really easy to go, God, I wish I just could have a month off.
Yeah.
And then literally when that situation arises, a week in, I'm like, I've got no focus, I've got no drive.
Even running, like, I've said this on a previous podcast, but even getting the office, because, like, I've been running, like, the business from, you know, like, me and my business partner kind of were working from home. We had an office in Manchester for, like, 6 months in 2020 during the pandemic. Then we were at home, and now we've just been there for a couple of months. And, it's made such a difference, just having a bit of routine and feeling like you're doing something.
Yeah.
It's sort of depressing, because it's like, shit, do I need work? I think I do. I always thought I didn't need work. If I was rich, I'd be a great rich person, because I'd just be travelling, I'd just be doing shit.
But that's it. If you won't say you won the Euros and won like 200 million or whatever, there wouldn't be a day where you wouldn't be doing something. You'd be travelling around, you'd be going whatever show you want, you'd go do whatever you want, you'd move wherever you want, you'd do you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference there.
Mm.
Whereas when you're in...
Sorry. See the mic wobbling.
When you're just in your normal routine and you've not... That's why I can't understand why people just stay on the dole for, like, years and years.
Mm.
But I'm sure it's like a perpetual routine thing again. But when you've got no... You've got no, like, structure. You've got no reason to be anywhere at any time, and you're not on holiday. Because when you're on holiday, that's a blessing. When you're away and you're like, oh, I've got no responsibility. Because we always used to say it when we were working dead hard, because literally all we did was save up, go on holidays. We didn't buy anything else, really. We just, that's everything we did. But those 2 weeks, like, or that week or whatever, oh, that I've got no responsibility, I've got nobody to answer to for the next 2 weeks. I've got nobody to tell me where I need to be or when I can go to the toilet or it's those little things that you think about, and it's like, oh yeah, this will be great. But when it's the norm, and you don't have that structure, it becomes really hard to... I think it becomes hard to do anything. Like I could have been doing anything like these last few months. I could have, you know, kept the Odeon thing going, found out a way to keep that going, and just gone cinema all the time. And because there's been loads of films that have come out that I've wanted to see.
There's been a lot of like U type films that you know, like, because there's been a couple of Marvel films that have been and gone. And
Thor's like been out for fucking ages, and I was really excited for that, and I just can't be bothered.
Mm.
But it's one of them where you're into what you're into at the time.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I'm like watching anime and I'm playing Magic the Gathering. So they're the two things that are taking up a lot of my headspace and a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to get out. I need to get out of this funk. I need to go into the wider world. Because we could have gone watch County yesterday. We didn't. And, you know, it's like, why aren't I doing that? And this is exactly the conversation we had the other night of, like, why don't I feel like I want to do it? Because it's not a money thing. Because the money thing's the money thing. Because in a few weeks when I start uni, you know, I can't believe how much they give you. But, like, it's not an issue. So I don't have to scrimp. But it's the feeling of not being asked. That's the thing where it's like, oh, what do you want to do? Oh, we could go and watch County. Nah, can't be arsed. I'd rather sit at home and listen to it on the radio or watch a stream of it, you know, with a VPN. Bang. Ooh, fuck you, EFL rules. It's little things like that. I'm like, oh, I can't be arsed. And I know full well on Wednesday morning, I'm not going to be arsed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, well, it was only a fiver. Should I bother? I can't be bothered.
You should definitely book your cinema ticket to go and watch the film, or else that'll be the one that you scrap.
Yeah.
Because you'll go, fuck it, I can't be arsed with the cinema. I'll just go to the thing in the evening.
But I might not do either of them.
You must.
I know I must.
You must.
I will.
It is tricky.
It's hard because it's one of them things where you're just like, oh, I can't be arsed.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I'm such a funk.
Going on, especially like with Magic, I'll be going on my own. You know, it's like, can I be bothered going on my own? Do I want to do this that much, where I'm gonna go on my own? And you know, it's what it is. But yeah, but you know, I'm gonna try and do a few more things next week.
Yeah, good. I think you should. It'll do you good. Oh, poet.
There you go.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's my new hobby.
Oh,
it's my new hobby now. I'm a poet now. That's my new thing. Yeah, it's really hard. I think it's just do you know what? I find the summers weird. And it does play into wrestling a little bit as well. Because I don't know why. They feel like this big it's great because I love the light nights. It's this huge expanse of time where there's such a massive expectation on you that you should be doing something and making the most of the summer. Mm. And as soon as an expectation on me, I kind of rebel against it and I want to do nothing.
Whereas
in the winter, when all that choice is taken away from me and it's dark at 4 o'clock, that's when I start wanting to do shit. That's when I'm like, right, well, I'll watch wrestling then. And I don't know what it is. It's really strange. And I just don't know what it is. I honestly don't. It's very, very strange.
It's odd, isn't it? It's an odd feeling, and I think it's something that most people have.
Yeah.
Like, they think, oh, should I bother? Should you know? But I think you never regret doing something. I don't think.
That's true.
I think you only regret not doing it. Because even if you go and you have a shit time, doesn't matter what you do, whether it's going to see the football match and you get hammered, or, you know, going to a gig or whatever, there might be parts of it that you're like, oh, that sucked. But you'll never regret going, you know, doing it. Do you know what I mean?
And you'll always feel like, I mean, even just doing the podcast, you know, we'll come out of it being like, oh, we did something with the weekend. Well, that's the thing.
Every time we do it, we come off it going, oh, that was so much fun. And I know, like, there are people that listen, but it's predominantly just something for us to do.
Yeah.
Together, because we talk like this all the time anyway. But yeah, it's an odd position to be in when you're not really doing anything.
Do you know what I was reminded of the other day? Because I'm reminded by your t-shirt, because you're wearing the wave top, and we got it in America, but it's from Uniqlo, and I saw someone else wearing it in Media City the other day, so it's obviously
it's
all the Uniqlos, isn't it? Like, it's just this top that's obviously...
Just as a side, that place is a fucking mecca. If you think, like, Primark's good for, you know, it's like, it's probably a tiny bit more expensive than Primark, but actually decent stuff.
Well, I was reminded when our minds were blown on that self-serve checkout. Do you remember that? I'm still reeling.
Have you ever had that situation
before?
Never. Right? Let me
please
let me,
do.
Let me break it down.
I'm going to top up my drink.
Just a little bit.
Prepare for your mind.
Oh, you know, Jesus
Christ. Watch this be a thing now where everyone's like, yeah, that's been happening. We just don't go to clothes shops.
Then. Well, we obviously don't. it's all wrestling merch and when I get my student loan, anime t-shirts. So when... I don't know if this ever happened to any of you guys, but so this Uniqlo...
Uniqlo.
I don't pronounce it right, but it's got like a red. It's a red box with a thing in it. So we got a few bits. I was buzzing because I was looking for this wave T-shirt all the time. Went in fucking Epcot. Thought it was bound to be in the Japan area. No, well yeah, they did have one, but it was like $80, and it looked like a fairy had sneezed on it because it had like fucking sparkles, like all the wave was like sparkly. I was like, I don't want that, I just want a bog standard $20. I don't want somebody coming up to me going, oh, do you know the artist who'd paint? No, I just like the picture. So we went in, it was in Disney Springs, wasn't it, the place. So we went into it, and there was like a kimono in the window, and I was like, if that fucking place doesn't have a wave t-shirt, then I'm never going to have one. So we went in, and they had the artist who did it, who I can't remember, like an exclusive kind of range. So like a load of his paintings were on t-shirts, so I got a couple of them. You got a couple of bits as well. And then we go to the checkout, and there's nobody there to you know, it's all self-serve. So it's like, okay, so there's no tills. There's tills upstairs, but they're like, if you want to do returns, or... I think, didn't they pay you for t-shirts as well? Because they reprinted them.
Yeah.
You could give them like plain t-shirts, and they'd give you like a dollar a t-shirt
or
something.
I did not see that.
Yeah, there was something where you could go and take them your old clothes, and they'd give you like cash back for it. Off other stuff, obviously. Not like cash in your hand, I don't think. I think it was just like... Because then they can wash them and reprint them and put stuff on it. Because a big part of their thing is you go in, you can choose a design and get it printed on a t-shirt. So we've got like the little basket thing. Just put the basket down in the area you put your basket down, and you're like, right, how does this work? And it comes up like
just
$110 or something like that, like straight away, within like seconds.
Calculated and the whole basket.
I was like, what?
Just by putting it down on the thing, the bill was calculated. It
like
was
instantly.
Fucking crazy. Fucking blew my little tiny mind that.
And
bit.
Then, but everybody else was just like, yep, and just going on. And me and you were stood there like gobs wide open, looking around, going, what the?
Am I on TV?
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing now. But
yeah,
like,
but fuck me, it's very clever.
Imagine when you're doing your food shop though, if you could just put your basket down and instantly it went bang.
It fucking should, because them self serves are a joke.
It's got to be something to do with like the tags.
Well, yeah.
Like they've got to have like, but how much money does that cost to? Oh, it was amazing.
Obsessed with
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely amazing. I'd forgotten all about that.
I know, me too, until I saw that wave top that someone else was wearing. I was like, oh my God.
The checkout.
That fucking till.
Amazing.
What an experience. Absolutely what a amazing. Time to be alive.
Whenever you feel like in a funk, you just need to remember that self-serve checkout.
There might be plastic in the oceans, but fuck me, you go to Uniqlo and you don't have to fanny about with the self-serve. Yeah.
And you just put your basket down and it knows.
Oh.
It's
so clever.
There's got to be some dweeb blog up.
No, I don't want to know.
It's not like Darren Brown.
It happens, you know.
You want to retain a bit of the magic.
Yeah, I don't want to know how it works. It destroys the whole dream.
Jesus Christ. Right, should we get going with this wrestling malarkey then?
Yeah, go on.
Try to think if I've got anything else. Don't think I do.
We've not got a lot going on.
No. Well, we have, but it's just, it's all on the horizon.
True that.
It's like waiting for death. You know it's coming, but...
Fucking hell, like, keep it light. Jesus Christ.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling episode 205 live, baby.
Oof.
How are you all doing? Hope you're all well. Hope you're all safe. we are a wrestling podcast. I don't need to tell you where to listen to it because you're listening to us right now. And if you are still listening to us right now, congratulations. But what you might not know is we're on Twitter. So find us at RCM Wrestling on Twitter, and we always post things up for you to respond to and all that kind of stuff. So join in. Join in the conversation. My name's Andy.
I'm Gemma.
And I hope you're all doing well. So I've got a couple of things for us to go through, the whole wrestling thing. But I wanted to start, because we've not done a show for a couple of weeks, and quite a lot has happened in that time. So you think we would have been itching to get to do it. But, yeah. You know, life gets in the way. Attack on Titan gets in the way.
Below deck Mediterranean
gets in the way. So really, not been watching a lot. I've been skipping through a lot of shit. I think the only thing wrestling related that I've been watching from start to finish has been Being the Elite. That's a lie, because whenever the Hollywood hunk turns up, I skip that.
Who's that?
The fucking Ziggler's brother.
Oh, yeah, no.
Who's like...
It's not even funny. I don't even get what he's doing. No. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
If it's funny to someone, please let us know, because I'm
confused.
No,
don't let us know, because I don't want to know. Because if you like it, great for you.
Yeah,
but not,
true.
But like the last couple of weeks, he's been doing some like red carpet thing. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or whatever, I just skip it through like straight away because I can't be fucking bothered. So I've not really watched too much. But what I did watch from start to finish, from entrance to end interview, was Ric Flair's last match.
Did you really watch it all?
I watched it all.
Wow, okay. I didn't see one frame of it. Not one thing.
Right.
So do I need to strap myself in for this? Are you going to give me an oral history of...
Maybe.
...Ric Flair's last match?
Maybe. So, everyone listening to this, you've probably seen it. Because it's quite an infamous thing now. He's fucked. But there are a few reasons as to why. But we'll go through them afterwards. But the match itself... atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Flair passed out twice during the match. And it's quite visible when he passes out. There's a spot where they were trying to put like nunchucks. Now that would have been interesting. Knuckle dusters.
Yes, there you go.
So he's putting like the knuckle dusters on Ric Flair. His hand is shaking so much he can't get them on.
Oh my god, it's barbaric.
It's really hard to watch. Shit. It's not easy to watch at all. It's really hard to watch. And the finish is shite, and they just get out of there. So a month before this, he's putting training videos up with him and Jay Lethal. So the match is Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett against him and Andrade.
My God, was Andrade in it?
Andrade was in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was his tag team partner. It was Andrade and Jay Lethal.
It was difficult to watch son-in-law. Yeah. Like, oh, Christ, yeah. I might kill my father-in-law on telly.
Yeah, yeah.
Sucks.
It's really bad. And Flair's like blading his ass off and bleeding everywhere.
He loves a blade.
But Christ, but he's fucked. So all these training videos and stuff, like he looks really good. Like he looks still going. He's bumping. He's, you know, he's keeping up with Lethal to a degree. For how old he is, he looked great. So, and I do have a question for you in all of this. It was the end of StarCast weekend. Flair was fucking boozing it all weekend.
Oh my god!
So the reports coming out is that
because
the night before the match, he'd caned like two bottles of whiskey.
Oh my god!
That was the report.
Shit.
Whether that's true or not is what it is. And it was on a rag shoot, so who knows? Probably not. But the overwhelming thing was he was absolutely fucking hammered all weekend. Right. Goes on to the day of the show, because I can't remember if it was a Saturday or a Sunday, but it goes on to the day of the show, and Flair, for some reason, thought to himself that he shouldn't eat. All day.
Okay.
All day. So from like, you know, whenever he woke up to, you know, 10:30 at night, he'd not eaten anything. absolutely nothing. So no wonder he was fucked. And he'd stopped taking, because obviously he's got a heart problem. But
which, oh, this is all just like a rich tapestry, yeah. Isn't it? How is he still alive?
Because he's got a heart problem, he takes blood thinners.
Yeah.
So and coagulants, so that he doesn't bleed when he gets cut. So he, like, you cycle off steroids. He'd cycled off his heart medication because he obviously wanted to fucking bleed.
Oh my god!
Because otherwise he wouldn't have bled. He would have cut himself, and a little bit would have come out, but it would have coagulated away, and it would have saved his life. Oh, it was fucking awful. So basically, you know, that was one of the worst things I've ever seen, and I don't want to see it again. I never want to see it again. However, the person that Conrad Thompson has said this is going to be the first of many of these types of shows, because apparently the show did really well. It did 8,000 people were there to watch. That's more than a Raw. That's more than a Dynamite. Okay.
Yeah.
8,000 people there to watch. There was like all stars in the front row, like Undertaker, Mick Foley.
Jesus.
You know, they were all on camera.
Oh, so they've taken this last match thing like
it
is his last match.
It's got to be his last match. That's not the question. The question isn't, does Flair do another match? And maybe he eats during the day this time. The question is, obviously I've explained to you how it went.
Yeah.
And it was horrific. It was quite scary to watch.
Oh, God.
Because there was a point where Flair kind of, I think it was after the knuckle duster spot, where he drops to his knees, and for the rest of the match, apart from the finish, he doesn't get up again. And there's a bit where, like, Jay Lethal and Andrade are, like, wrestling, and Flair's on the apron, just lay down, not moving. And I was like, he's fucking dead. And luckily for me, I watched it a couple of days after it happened, so I knew he didn't die. But if I'd have been watching that live, I'd have thought he was dead, because he didn't move for about 10 minutes. They went, like, 45 minutes. It was just ridiculous. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. But he's, like, fucking completely conked on the side. And nobody, there's nobody going up to him and saying, you all right, or anything like that. So there must have been a bit of a gentleman's agreement of just leave me.
Sorry, I shit myself. That fucking guy on his cherry picker was at his eye level.
Is he going up again? Are you fucking joking? Is he fucking joking? It's 9 o'clock.
He can't be.
And we're doing
again.
A fucking podcast.
He can't be. Wait, don't look at him, babe, because he's going to see us, because he's literally... By the way, guys, we're not on ground level. We're like a story up, and he's at our window on his cherry picker. Wait, just wait until he does, though, because he might just be moving it, babe. What's he doing?
Hey, mate. 2 minutes. Are you banging again, or...?
No,
they'll be fine. We're just recording a show, so... no worries, honestly. You're good.
Fucking hell.
For fuck's sake.
I was like, I'll be 2 minutes.
What's he doing?
He just needs to turn things, whatever he's turning.
What the fuck is he put on his house? He's put some on his house. Jesus wept. It's so whatever. Bizarre.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, where the fuck were we? I was about to fucking lose my mind.
I thought you were going to go out that fucking window and just dive on the cherry picker. Just take him out.
Fucking James Bond. Right?
Oh, fuck, that's so funny.
For the most exercise I've done in months. So here we go.
So
the question that I'm trying to get to, if we can ever fucking get there at any time during this evening, is these last matches are obviously very commercially successful for people like Conrad Thompson.
Yes.
So he's the big dude who does all the podcasts with him, the Southern guy.
I know the face. Yeah. I know his face, yeah.
So he said this is going to be like the first of many.
So had he set that up? What do you mean? It's successful.
Yeah, so he owns... I don't know the whole ins and outs of things.
Okay.
But Conrad Thompson owns a lot of shit.
Oh, right, OK. okay.
As in, like wrestling properties.
Person.
That's what I. Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh, okay. But he's obviously more than that, and he's obviously got a hell of a lot of money as well, because he owns a lot of properties for stuff. I think StarCast is like his thing now. I don't know that for certain though, because I don't listen. I don't listen to any of those podcasts. You know, I watch at most like the odd highlight every now and again. So he's come out and said this is going to be like the first of many like last match type things. I don't feel they're going to have a bigger one than Ric Flair. But one, is there anybody you would go, actually I want to see that with? Or do you think it's exploitative?
I don't think it's exploitative at all, because there's something really interesting about like wrestling, and it's like really sad. And I think there's like a real, I was gonna say before, like his last match sounds like he wanted like it to be like the end of The Wrestler, where he just died in the ring. Like,
nearly did.
Even though, like, obviously it's an ambiguous ending and all that shit, but you can assume he died. But, a spoiler alert, there is something that is captured in that film, though, really well about being the old guy who used to be a wrestler who can't let it go. And they can't let it go. And I get it, because it's not like acting and all that shit, where, you know, if you're a Hollywood star and you've got a load of cash and you retire from acting, you know, like, what do you miss being on a film set and sitting in a chair with a coffee, like waiting for like 6 hours at a time?
Yeah.
You know, like, you very rarely get that crowd moment unless you're at an award ceremony. And the same with singing, you know, if you're, you know, maybe it's closer to like that, where, you know, like they like to perform and they like to be in front of people.
Yeah.
But I just think that there's something they just can't let go. They can't let go of that glory. And if they want to do it, if they want to have that last match, and if they want to keep coming back, I don't believe you can stop them. And I don't think you can put shit in place to keep them safe either. I just don't think that you can give them a stipulation on their own match. They should be able to do whatever they want. It's shit to watch, I think, as a fan.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Like, I personally don't want to watch people who are older struggling, even if they're having the time of their life. I just don't really need to see it. You know, like, The Undertaker was tough to watch in the, you know, some of the, like, matches in the last few years have been
Think of that Undertaker situation where you're watching it going, oh my God, he can't go anymore.
Yeah.
Times it by 1,000.
Well, it would be like Undertaker in about 20 years' time.
Yeah.
Because Undertaker's, what, like 50s?
I don't know.
So that would mean Undertaker in his 70s, which is what Flair is. That's in 20 years' time, the Undertaker wants another match. You're like, I don't need to see a 70. I personally don't. But the lore of like their character, you know, they don't want it to be over. And I totally understand that they don't want it to be over. And it is the character, and it's like the people want it. And, you know, Flair's just loves the attention. Like, that's why he's, you know, been at, like, basketball games and he's in that rap song and got, like, a bit of resurgence and everyone does the woo thing. And it must be difficult to be like, that's, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
When you want to. And, but I think the tricky thing for him was just the fact that how much he put himself at risk leading up to it with his, like, medication and not eating on the day and all that weird shit. Like, it's just bizarre. Like, why are you doing that? You don't need
so
to...
So odd.
You just don't need to do that shit. You know, do you want to look svelte? Like, is that why you didn't eat? Clearly, you just wanted to make your stomach look a bit smaller. That must have been it. But it's like, I don't know. I find it, I'm not into it. It's not for me. No. And I wouldn't pay money into it. If there was, say, like, in 20 years' time, Undertaker's fucking in his late 70s.
I mean, how many retirement matches for Undertaker do we need to see? We've seen 15.
Well, there's been, like, loads of Flair. It's the same. Flair, like, should have retired at the Shawn Michaels match. It was, and he would have gone down in history as being the most perfect end-of-career match there's ever been. And that would have been his thing. Yeah. Apart from all, like, the amazing shit he'd done previously, but talk about what a match to go out on, to considered one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Like, what a moment.
Yeah.
Like, he arguably, like, for his character and for his legend and his lore of flair, like, it should have been that match.
Yeah, because nobody, I couldn't tell you, and I was watching it at the time, I couldn't tell you a single Flair match in TNA.
No.
I couldn't tell you anything to do with that. But I do think it's exploitive.
As in other people exploiting him?
Yeah, because it's not, he doesn't get all the money from it.
Mm.
You know, this Conrad's, and again, you know, I don't know what the guy's like. I don't know what the people who put this show together is, what they're like as human beings. But seeing him in the ring the way he was, it was scary.
Mm.
It was scary. It was like what it was the most frightened, even though I knew he was fine. Like, if I was watching that live, I'd have been like, this is really bad. Like, somebody needs to call this right now.
Yeah.
And instead, he's just lay on the apron. And they're trying to put the nunchucks, Jesus Christ, the knuckle dusters on him, and his hand's shaking to the point where he can't get his fingers in it.
That's sad.
He can't get his fucking fingers in it. So the reason why I think it's exploitative, and it's weird that Conrad Thompson came out and said this is going to be like the first of many of these style events, is because there are a lot of people out there who have got a wrestling name who would love that opportunity.
Mm.
And it isn't about the money. Like, they might need money, you know, there might be people that need money or whatever, but it isn't about that. It's about having that last throw of the dice, that last, you know, moment in the spotlight where you're the main event.
It's so true, but, like, just to jump in, it's similar to when you see the big UFC fighters back in the day who weren't earning, like, a fraction of what they earn now.
Yeah.
Who they're fucking having bare-knuckle fights.
I know.
And they've got no business to be having bare-knuckle fights and all that shit.
Well, I got the Tito Ortiz Chuck Liddell fight where Tito Ortiz knocked him out. And it's like, Liddell's been knocked out so many times that a strong gust of wind could probably knock him out. And it's really bad that they get into that situation. But I understand that side of it, the UFC side of it, because it's a competitive thing.
Mm.
Whereas wrestling's not competitive. It's competitive backstage. Like, you can do your backstage politicking. That's where it's competitive. But wrestling isn't competitive because everything's predetermined. You know, MMA fights and boxing and all that kind of stuff, it's competitive. So I understand, like, Ricky Hatton's coming back for a fight. Amir Khan had a fight where he got fucking absolutely pieced up. I understand why those guys do it, because they've got a competitive nature, and I'm sure they don't feel like themselves until they're competing.
Yeah.
But the wrestling side, I understand it, but from an ego standpoint, from a limelight standpoint. So the reason why I think it's exploitative is because that guy's going to make a lot of money off the back of that.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to make a lot of money off the back of it. And probably pay the wrestlers extremely well. But there comes a time when, like, who, because obviously that will, it'll never get any bigger than Ric Flair. So it might be a case where, you know, God, he's moving his fucking thing now.
I just saw him go by the window.
Well, at least he's finished, for Christ's sake. But there comes a time when it won't be as big and they won't make as much money. So it's like, who's going to be the last one of these last matches? Because it's that's basically what I was saying before, is that there's going to be a lot of wrestlers that are in that situation who want that last match, and Conrad Thompson's phone's probably going to be ringing off the hook with people that want to do that last match.
Yeah.
And go, you know, like, what's to stop Mick Foley from fucking doing it? You know, all he needs to do is pull the sock out and put it in somebody's mouth. You know, he doesn't need to do a proper match. And then the flip side of that is, you can say, well, you know, these guys will then get in shape and all that kind of stuff. But I do think it's exploiting a wrestler's ego of wanting to do it.
Oh, 100%,
because yeah. WWE would have never have let Ric Flair do a match. AEW would have never have let Ric Flair do a match, especially when they were doing that talk of trying to get Ric Flair in AEW. And then obviously the scandal and all that kind of stuff came out, and then it went off the back burner, and he's re-signed with WWE on a Legends kind of thing now. It just doesn't sit well with me. It's one of those things where I will never pay to watch it.
No.
You know, I watched it through a dodgy means. I would never pay to watch it. And I don't want to feed that, because there are going to be a lot of people, like, say, like, you know, Jake Roberts, if he goes, well,
the issue you've got is, and Flair didn't need to go that far in his match. He could have done the bare minimum, and it's his last match, and he could have been very safe. He didn't need to do half the shit he did, because he's Ric Flair. It could have been anything.
He hardly did anything.
But, you know, like, he's obviously put himself out, but then when it comes to, like, the lower level, like, cause he is, like, one of the top guys. And so is Jake the Snake, really.
Jake the Snake's not getting 8,000 people in an
arena. But then you have got people, like, so take him then, for example. He'll be thinking, I want to do that, but I've got to go one better to put on a better show than the Flair one, because not as many people give a shit. And then when you start going down and down and down, it's like, what do I need to do? If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with an absolute bang. And it's like, it gets more and more dangerous and more risky, because you'll start wanting to up the ante.
Can you imagine what Foley would want to do if he was at, if he had a last match like that?
Well, yeah.
Can you imagine what he would want to
do? Because he knows what the people expect. Because Foley's a different beast, though, because his matches were always, like, tough. They were always really hard.
Yeah.
Whereas other wrestlers who weren't known for that will then start doing really extreme shit, because they want to have, like, a mad, like, crazy battle. And Mick Foley, like, I wouldn't want to see that shit at all. No. But he'd want to be coming off the top of shit.
He'd be covered in blood.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And because he'll be thinking, oh, well, it's my last match. It's what they expect. I can't just go and, like, fucking take a couple of clotheslines and that's the end of it. Like, I need to do something extreme. So what can I do to sort of, like, up the ante a little bit?
Yeah. Because it's not so much, like, what they'll do. Like,
do you want to close that window? Because I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
but
just close it. Yeah. So for me, like, the whole thing of Flair doing what he did, because it's not a major promotion, it's not like a regulated, because AEW is going to be full of doctors, WWE full of doctors, so who cleared him and said he was all right to do that? Because he quite clearly wasn't, because he did loads of things like not fucking eat and got fucking wasted all weekend. It's like, which is probably what he used to do back in the day. Like, before a big match, he might not have eaten, just because he performed better.
Yeah.
Hungry, you know, who knows? Who knows the reasons? Nobody will know that other than him and his close circle. But who's allowing him to go out there? And that is the real problem that I have with it. Because, you know, WWE and all those, and all the other promotion stuff, they're going to have people that will say, no. No, you can't do it. It's like back in the day when TNA had the Jeff Hardy Sting match, who's letting Jeff Hardy go out like that? And when you've got, and I know TNA at the time was like a big company, it was getting crazy ratings compared to what ratings are like now. It was getting like a couple of million and all that kind of shit. Who's letting these people go out and do that? There's got the book's got to stop with a medical professional, and there's no medical professional on planet Earth that will have looked at Ric Flair and examined him 2 hours before that match that would have allowed him to go out there and do that.
No.
Because he's coming out and he's got plantar fasciitis, the foot problem. He's got that. He's limping on the way down to the ring. And it's just like, dude, I know you feel like you'd be letting a lot of people down here, but the book's got to stop with somebody who's a medical professional.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't. So how many more situations like that are we going to get into? And how popular is the next one going to be? Because it was such a car crash. It was so horrible to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you're a wrestler and you've retired, you've got to stay retired. Because, like, look at Austin. Austin come back at WrestleMania and had a great match with Owens. He should never do that again.
No.
Because that was a great match. And a great few moments, and the non-stunner to Vince will live on, you know, forever. But there comes a point, but he's not as old as Ric Flair, but there comes a point where if you can't go, don't do it. Because I don't want to see, like, the Rock, the last two matches the Rock's had, he's been seriously injured in both of those matches. Mm. Like, torn pecs, torn quads. I don't want to see somebody come back and not look like how they used to look. Mm. And I know that's, you know, maybe a selfish thing from a memory standpoint, but it was at best it was embarrassing, at worst it was super fucking scary.
That sucks.
Super scary. Should we move on?
Yeah.
So before we get into WWE, which will probably take up the majority of the remaining time, I have got a sneaky little topic here. And the thing that I've put is a little bit like clickbaity, because I don't feel like it needs to be. But can Rampage be saved? So Rampage, over the last month, has been a bit of a non-show. And it feels to me, it feels so... Because obviously Dynamite's really the only show that I'm asked about watching.
Yeah.
And Rampage, just because it's there. Rampage feels so like alien to AEW. It feels like it's a completely different brand. Because it has like Swerve and Keith Lee on it all the time. And they're hardly ever on Dynamite. And it's just a shit show. And the viewing figures are reflecting it. So it's like 300,000, 400,000. It's by far the worst watched main wrestling show on TV. NXT doubles its numbers. Yes, it's in a really shit point place as far as like what time it's on. It's on after SmackDown. But they got 1.7 on that second Rampage when CM Punk returned.
Yeah.
Now, because they've had like title matches on it, you know, if Punk was on it, I don't think it would still get over 400,000. Because people are just like, well, this is a nothing show. It doesn't really push any storylines that anybody gives a shit about. You know, they had Bryan Danielson talking on it. People aren't tuning into that because AEW's not geared up. The fans are not geared up for like talking segments. They're not bothered. So can it be saved? Is there any way it can be saved?
I just think that them going to the two show televised shows a week, I was never a big fan of them doing it anyway, because, I mean, I understand why they did. If you're getting offered it, you'll take it, and they've got loads of fucking people signed to the roster. It's fucking nuts. So I get it. I get why the, you know, it was a thing, but the problem with having a show, a second show, and your main flagship show is Dynamite, and then your other one is that, and it's on late and on a Friday. It got fucked about with timings and moving about so much that why'd you care? I think it's on far too late for for the American audience. You know, it doesn't really matter to us when it's on, but I think it's far too late to be on for it as a wrestling show.
Yeah,
and it's 1 hour long, which in itself you're a bit like, well, that's a bit throwaway anyway.
Yeah,
you know, if it'd be different if it was like, you know, NXT used to be 1 hour long and it was on once a week. You know, you tune in for it because it's like the only hour I get and it's good quality wrestling, because it's always good quality what's on there.
See, this is
sometimes
the thing.
Rampage shows have been better,
great,
in my opinion, than Dynamite, but I like brevity, so it works well for me. But I just think that as long as it's got that slot and it gets moved about so much, and I know Dynamite does too, it's just because of, you know, American sports, obviously. It's never going to get viewers. It's just not. No. I just don't believe. And it's Friday night. It's a tough night. You know, like, it's not... People are not generally in. You know, if you're talking about your demographic that you want to appeal to, you're 18 to 25 or whatever. You know, Friday night is not a night where you're sat in at, like, I don't know what time it airs over there, like 10 p.m, 9 p.m. You're not...
I think it's 11, isn't it?
You don't tend to be, like,
after
sat
SmackDown.
In... You know, or you might have had a few drinks because it's the weekend. You know, if you've got such a job where you're not working at the weekend, you know, you kind of celebrate in the weekend. It's just not a time. Wrestling is at its best when it's a distraction to what's going on in your life, I think. And that's when it always works well for me, speaking personally anyway. So that's why I tend to get into it more in the winter, because I'm depressed because of the dark nights and all that shit. And it's just something that really distracts you from all the crap that's going on. And that's why it was so great when WWE came back and AEW continued through the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it wasn't great, it wasn't ideal, but at least it carried on because that was the time you really needed wrestling the most because the world just looked so weird. And it's the same now, like it's, we're living in a really uncertain times and wrestling has its place. But I just don't, I just think that the people who work 9 to 5, 5 days a week, I just think the only time you naturally feel like you don't need distractions is a Friday night.
Well, you say that, but SmackDown gets over 2 million.
It's on earlier.
But it's only, but like there's
can I have a wee? Sorry,
yeah, there's like, by the end of SmackDown, there's like 1.7 million people watching it.
Yeah.
And then Rampage starts straight away and it's 400,000. So it's not, I don't think it's a case of people are out on a Friday night because you can say that about loads of things. You could say that about, you know, people go out on a Friday night. You can say there's so many other things to watch, you know, Friday night football or whatever the fuck. I don't know when things are on and when they're not on and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much stuff to watch. There's going to be enough people there to get it. Because to me, for Rampage, you know, a decent viewing figure would be over 600,000. Because NXT gets 600,000. And that is probably going to get better, which we might come on to in a bit. But at the moment, it's pure gash. Like, it's awful. Like, everything I hear about it, because I won't watch it, but everything I see is everybody, all anybody says about it is an awful show. It's a car crash of a show. However, NXT does more than Rampage does. So I think the reason why is because they, you know, when they came out the gates for Rampage, it was, oh, this isn't going to be a B show, it's going to be another A show, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just not lived up to that mentality, because the taped show thing doesn't hold any water either, because tape shows notoriously do just as well, because not everybody goes on Twitter and reads the spoilers. They just watch it when they watch it. You know, 90% of wrestling fans don't listen to Wrestling Observer, don't listen to podcasts, don't look at all the ins and outs of things, because they just like the wrestling and they just like to be entertained on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday, unless Impact's Thursday, Friday night. They like to be entertained, so they don't look into any of this stuff. So the reason why Rampage, in my opinion, is getting really bad viewership is because it's been a poor show. And when I say poor show, for me personally, it's great because it's like, it's a good wrestling show. And like they did Battle of the Belts, that was like on a Saturday, which had one of the best matches I've ever seen in Claudio Castagnoli against Takeshita. How they've let him go back to Japan, I've got no fucking idea. He should have been bought out of his contract. He's that fucking good. But that was one of the best matches I've ever seen. They had 2 standing ovations during the match, 450,000 viewers. So the wrestling side of it never gets viewers. And that's why, I mean, you know, and that's a worrying thing maybe for WWE, because Triple H is taking over, and we'll obviously get into that more in a second. He's taken over and he's going to have more emphasis on the wrestling. And they've been doing stuff in the matches that they've not done in like 10 years.
Right.
As far as like, you know, in-ring content and stuff. But it's not the in-ring content that makes people watch.
Mm.
It's the storylines and it's what's going on outside of the wrestling. Because you can put, you could put on Rampage next week, because we might even get this depending on who's the book's mystery partner. But you could put Kenny Omega against Jon Moxley for the interim title, and the winner goes on to All Out to face Punk, which they're not going to do. But they could do that, and they could say that it's got an hour. It's got the whole hour of Rampage, and it's this massive match, and they build it up for a month. I would be surprised if it got over 600,000, because people don't give a shit about Rampage anymore. Because as soon as you, and it's, you know, I could shoehorn my Danhausen argument in here in a minute, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. But as soon as you tell people that this isn't worth it, or then that's when everybody clicks off. Mm-hmm. So because Rampage, because everybody knows it's a B show, everybody knows it's a secondary show, and it was doing all right, and then it got moved around, and it's not recovered. Like, people have not come back because they know it's a B show, because it's getting moved around so much. It was fine when they only had Dynamite, and Dynamite dropped in the figures because they were moving that around so much, because it was the only one. It's like, well, Dynamite's the show, so I want to see Dynamite. But you can watch just Dynamite, and everything that's going on, you know about. Because Punk's not turning up on Rampage. He might do it just to do a promo, but the promo doesn't forward the storyline. Nothing that goes on Rampage is forwarding any storylines that anybody gives a shit about. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, having, like, Orange Cassidy on it, it's not going to pull the ratings because he's going against Daivari, who nobody knows who he is, really.
Mm.
And Sonny Kiss turning heel, who cares?
Yeah.
And, like, I care because I enjoy it. And I'm like, oh, this is a great show. But nobody cares because it's not got the Blackpool Combat Club in it, forwarding a storyline. It's not got Jericho on it, forwarding a storyline. Jericho most of the time's on commentary for Rampage. Like, nobody gives a shit. I don't think it's anything to do with people being out on a Friday night or any of that. You know, if the DVR numbers are, like, massive, fair enough. But it's just, to me, it's just not, they're killing it. Just like they've, you know, killed off their own women's division by signing people. I mean, have we got 5 minutes to talk about Madison Rayne? The worst professional wrestler they've signed in the last 6 months.
I don't know anything about
Madison. So Madison Rayne is an ex-TNA wrestler, ex-Impact.
Just to jump in, guys, like, I've seriously been so out of wrestling. So, like, I've not watched pretty... apart from the odd snippet I've seen and when you've had it on, I've not been into it. I've just I'm in a funk with wrestling, like, big time.
It's the summer of funk.
It is the summer of funk.
Madison Rayne's been hired as a coach for the female wrestlers.
Right.
She comes out and she has a match against somebody who I can't remember. It's fucking awful. She has one of the worst matches I've seen Jade Cargill have with her.
Right.
And she's supposed to be a coach. Jesus. Like, what is going on? Like, I feel at the moment, because of everything, like the ROH stuff and all that kind of stuff, I think Tony Khan has obviously only got a certain amount of time. And he has promoted people. He's promoted Sanjay Dutt. He's promoted QT.
Mm.
And that guy who came from WWE, that Pat Buck. So they're a lot more hands-on with, like, creative and all that kind of stuff. So obviously the book stops with Tony Khan still, like it used to do with Vince. But they are doing a lot of the more day-to-day kind of stuff, which is absolutely necessary because he can't do it all on his own. However, these guys don't have a fucking clue what they're doing in this women's division at all. They've got such great wrestlers there now who can put bangers on. Like, we saw a banger with, like, Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, and it was great. You know, Ruby Soho can have great matches. Sheeta's on Dark. Like, what the fuck's going on? And Madison Rayne's getting two matches on TV, and she's a coach, and she's not a good wrestler.
So weird.
It'd be like fucking, you know, it's like, and she looks, it's tough because she looks like those female wrestlers that you hate. Like those ones that, she's like a Bella twin. She's as bad as a Bella twin. Like, she's there just on aesthetics and no talent whatsoever. When she was coming out to the ring, it looked like she was completely vacant and she had no idea what was going on. But she came out as if she expected to get cheered out the building. It's like, no one gives a fuck who you are.
I've literally never heard of her.
Exactly. So,
I mean, that doesn't say a lot. I haven't heard of a lot of people, but I've definitely never heard of her.
The way they were talking about her and the way they were kind of talking her up on Twitter, it's like they'd signed Mickey James to be the coach who can actually go.
Is she come from, like, TNA or something?
Impact. She's been in Impact for, like, years.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you all you need to know, really. But she's not done very well since the start. So there is massive issues across the board with AEW at the moment.
Mm.
And it is just strange. And Punk's return was odd. Like, the crowd went bananas and it was awesome, but he didn't look great. Like, people, like literally, the JFO were like running into his arm, and it's like, wow. It's like I'm watching fucking Ric Flair's last match again. Like, it's not as bad as that, obviously.
Where they're kind of doing him a solid, sort of.
Yeah, they're doing it all for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's putting his arm out and like
they're doing backflips.
Yeah, and they're flipping on the fucking ramp, and it's just like, what is going on here at the moment? Like, what is actually happening? You've got no direction whatsoever. The AEW that. Like when we started watching it, and during the pandemic, and just after the pandemic, and then all these guys started to get signed. It's a bit to give it a like a football analogy. It's a bit like they've signed a load of great players. Like, let's take United for example, but they don't sign great players, so they're just a bag of shit. But say you signed a load of great players and they just don't gel together and they keep losing. And it's like, how do we keep losing? We've got this star striker, this midfielder who's amazing, this defender, the goalkeeper's like the best goalkeeper, you know, best technical goalkeeper in the world. But something just ain't clicking.
Yeah.
And it's I think the reason why is since all the injuries and everything like that is Khan had to think on the fly and couldn't book like 6 months in advance. I think that's why we're getting all this disjointed. Oh, Rampage now has, you know, Swerve against somebody, and Madison Rayne's now a coach, and she's having a match. And
I know
there's no, it's that
because obviously I'm following sort of like tentatively like over on Twitter and stuff, but I think that like I'm not backing anybody. There's no one I really care about. And
well, there's one that I want to see doing well, but.
Well, I mean, there's nobody that, like, I need to tune in to see how they're getting on and their sort of growth and all that shit. Because, you know, like, I don't know, I just find it all a bit... I personally feel, and I could be... Obviously, this is coming from someone who's not watched it for a bit and has just seen snippets. I don't believe there's that great a character development with people. And I don't know if it's because there's so many people, there's only so much you can do, whereas, you know, like WWE, you know, hammer home, this is the person you need to care about.
Yeah.
But I don't care about anybody at all. Like, I'm completely, like, meh. And if I found out, say, if there was someone I did like and had a match, it's like, well, I might not see him for another fucking 3 weeks after that.
This is the problem.
So it's like, what's the point? And this piecemeal. It's so, it's like, you know, it's that booking. Maybe it is that because of the injuries and the long-term storytelling, you know, has been straight out the window. And and I do think that, I don't know, I just think that Kenny Omega was a bit of a linchpin when it came to story and character. And I do think they've suffered through not having him because I think he can tell a story.
Yeah.
No matter what he's given, he makes it wrestling. I don't think Moxley makes it wrestling. I think Moxley comes in, is Moxley, does his match and fucks off. That's the perception I have. You could give him any storyline, whether he's a fucking face or a heel, he never makes me care. I don't care. I feel like Moxley's a great wrestler, but he's a self-serving wrestler. He comes in and has the match he wants to have. And I feel like I'm watching a man wrestle. Whereas when I see Kenny Omega, I'm watching a wrestler playing a character really well, do a wrestling thing. And
that's
he
a really
does
good point.
Everything in character. Like, I don't know who the real guy is at all. Whereas I feel like Moxley's that guy.
Yeah,
like, he is just him.
Yeah.
And because of that, I don't care about any... Because I don't believe any of the... And the stories are just, like, inconsequential. Because I don't think he has stories. I think he just wrestles. Whereas I've always found, like I said, with the Omega I've seen, it's just more compelling.
Yeah.
And I think the books don't have the charisma, really. I think they've got some charisma, but it's very kind of practiced from years and years and years. It's not natural. Punk obviously has a very natural charisma, and he's been missing for a while, but I don't know.
It's tricky,
but that's the thing. It's that I'm not drawn to anyone. as a storyteller, and I need to have. It needs to be complete fantasy for me. I don't just want to watch a load of blokes who love wrestling go and put on the wrestling matches they want to do.
Yeah.
I need to have some story. I need to have some, nothing stupid, but I need it to be wrestling and not just. There was a great kind of thing that Mark Kermode, the film critic, said when he says, his literal quote is, "I have a tin ear for comedy." So whenever it's a comedy film, 9 times out of 10, he doesn't get it.
Right.
But he says, "I can always tell the ones that he tends to find shit are the ones in the interviews that the stars do. They say, oh, we had a great time. We had a wonderful time filming this." And it's always like an outro, like when the credits are rolling of all the outtakes. "Look at us having a wonderful time." And it's like, I can tell the ones where they're having a great time because it's not as good.
Yeah.
Because they're just playing and they're just having a great day and hoping to make a good film out of it. Mm-hmm. But a film is like baking a cake. You know, you've got, and this is me talking, a film's baking a cake. It's like, it might not be exactly all the ingredients you want, and you might not be making it in the way that you find the most fun, but you've got to do it. There's a formula to make something funny. You can't just all turn up like a bunch of bros on a film set and all have a laugh and just ad-lib and just hope it's funny.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some people might find it funny, but it's not a great film. It's just that you got fucking about. And that's what I feel like AEW is. I feel like it's a bit of a circle jerk of, this person's a great wrestler, so let them go and have the match of their life. Let fucking, I don't know his name, what's his name, Cesaro's real name?
Claudio.
Let Claudio come in and do what he fucking likes, he deserves it. Let him come and have them, but you're forgetting a really vital element that it has to be really tight. You've got to like tell a story while you're doing it. You've got to make people give a fuck about the person who wins and the person who loses. Yep. And there has to be like a care about who wins and loses.
Yep.
It's not to say that the star can't lose, but if the star loses, you kind of have to care they've lost. But right now, I do think that I'm watching a bunch of bros just live their best life.
Yeah, and that's totally it. Because the thing for me, it's like Claudio and Takeshita had one of the best matches I've ever seen and nobody watched it.
Mm.
But I really loved it. I loved it as a match. And I can forgive the non-storyline aspects if the matches are great, because me personally, that's what I like. That's why I like New Japan, because they don't really have a lot of, there's no story, it's just go for it. You know, who's the better fighter, that's that angle, and that is what I like the most. But people don't like that, they're not asked about that. You know, Daniel Bryan got beat off Daniel Garcia and nobody cared. Like, literally nobody cared. And they've got a 2 out of 3 falls match now on Dynamite, which Bryan Danielson will probably win. So what was the point in giving Daniel Garcia that win? Well, it was to try and elevate him. And me personally, I think Daniel Garcia is fantastic. But who, it'd be really interesting to kind of pick the brain of somebody who's like watching that just because, you know, they liked Daniel Bryan. And they go, well, who the fuck's this guy? Oh, he's a great wrestler, but he can't speak in a mic. But that's the thing, is it's all subjective. And there has to be a clear through line. You know, the stuff that really annoys me. So the biggest annoyance for me is Danhausen.
Mm.
That is the biggest fucking annoyance for me. Because Danhausen is somebody who is insanely popular for a reason that isn't because of AEW. It's got nothing to do with AEW, why Danhausen's popular. Because he was super popular before he got there, and now loads more people have seen him, so he's even more popular.
Mm.
Like, he said in a thing that his YouTube channel like doubled in subscribers since he's been on AEW. And that's great. However, if you keep pinning him, and you keep having him lose, and you keep, because like, the whole thing with like the curse thing is like, is it real, is it not real? Well, now we know it's not real because he's done the curse so many times now where it's not worked. He's a joke. And the more times you show somebody as being a joke, then everybody will believe it. So if he keeps getting beat and keeps getting pinned, no one's going to give a fuck about Danhausen anymore. No one's going to care. And the whole thing of like Hook coming out and all, that was all great. But he had a tag team match this week. And I was like, well, okay, so it's against the Ass Boys. Right. You're having it. Here we go. So they're against the Ass Boys, and he's got fucking Redbeard as his partner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm thinking, oh, and literally, usually with AEW, is you know who's going to win. You can see it. You can see it coming. Because it's always, you know, John Moxley goes against this randomer from the indie shows, and it's for the title elimination match. You know, if this other guy wins, then he's going against Jericho. He's like, you know he's not going to win. And it wasn't a great match. But Jericho against Moxley was a great match. Because they're great in rings. I believe Moxley can tell a story as long as he's got a dance partner.
Mm.
If he's not got a dance partner, then it's a match. If he has got somebody like Jericho, then Jericho can't help himself. And he'll put all the minutiae in that you need. So Danhausen comes out with Redbeard. They get a great pop. They're doing this match. And it's like, okay, well, Eric Redbeard's like beating the fuck out of both of the Ass Boys. They're getting smacked around like, you know,
yeah,
like nothing. Danhausen gets pinned. And then at the end of the match, Billy Gunn gets in the ring and goes, is that it? Is that all you're gonna give me? Oh, no wonder I missed the acclaimed. You two are a disgrace. They fucking won. So what does that tell? And I know, you know, I go back and forth and going, oh, fuck the casual fan and all this kind of stuff. But what does that tell the casual fan who's watching that? It says that Danhausen is a complete waste of your time and you shouldn't be bothered because he's just been beat. He's had Eric Redbeard, who was cleaning house throughout the match.
Mm.
And you've got the fucking Gun Club winning. And then Billy Gunn says, I'm not happy with you both. You're both crap. What does that tell you about Danhausen?
I know.
He's shit. That's what it tells
you.
It's
a joke.
So he shouldn't be. You know, he's going to, honestly, in the next month, if they keep fucking doing this, but they won't because they're on like once a month, these guys. So you forget. And it's like, oh no, Danhausen's back. Great. You know, and he sells them so much t-shirts and he gets such a big cheer when he comes out. Like, what the fuck are they doing with him?
Mm.
And then you've got, like, the women's side where, like, Toni Storm will pop up randomly and have a random title match that she loses with no build. And it's like, that's the sort of thing that's really starting to grate me with AEW. It's because they've got too many people and I think they're misusing the ones that they have got.
Yeah.
Because you hardly ever see Malakai. Like, he was on it this week, but not wrestling. And that was a great match, that coffee match between Brody and Darby. Like, the finish was fantastic, where, like, he has him choked with his own chain, lets it go, and he just falls straight into the coffin and the lid door shuts. Perfect. It was great. And there are really great stuff on the show. But it's gotten to the point now where it feels like the spotlight, the ones that they're spotlighting, and then the rest of the show is kind of a pulled together random thing. Danhausen needs, to me, what I would do with Danhausen is I would have him winning matches against lower talent on TV. Because you have to rectify the shit that they've done to him now. Because he's lost every match on TV.
It's bad, isn't it?
That he's been in.
It's just bad. I just think there's so much you could do with
him. Apart from, like, when he does a joke, you know, Hook destroyed a guy, he tags himself in and he pins him.
Mm.
You know, like, he is such a popular character. It's just pathetic.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, the Gun Club cheated to win. It doesn't matter. And the reason why it doesn't matter is because of what happened afterwards. Because Billy Gunn was like, you two suck. You're going to have another match on Dynamite and let's see what you've got then. It's like, okay, well, if those two still suck, Billy Gunn, then fucking Redbeard will never be seen again and Danhausen will be, like, fucking jobbing on Dark. It fucking winds me up.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I just think there's too many people. And because I think they've signed so many people with the promise of it's great here and there's so much hype around AEW or there was, you know, as in, like, for the talent, like, come here and you get what you want and you can wrestle what you want and it's blah, 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 blah. They've just got so many people that you're sort of, like, pleasing everyone, but in a, like I say, in a really piecemeal sort of way.
Yeah.
And the only way you can please them is by just giving them a one-off kind of exhibition. I was going to say expedition. Exhibition match.
Yeah.
And that's what's... We're getting like a series of exhibition matches of people every 3 weeks or something. And then they fuck off again.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? You know, like, when Ruby Soho got signed, before they got Toni Storm and whoever the fuck this Madison, whatever she's called, is... Like,
An Athena.
Like, but when they signed Ruby Soho and she was like the first big, like, arguably the first big sort of female signing that they got.
Yeah.
That should have been like a long term. She should have been straight in the action in a long term sort of story.
Yeah.
Because you've finally got someone who can contend, and she needs to be on it every week. She needs to be on every show. She needs to be like guest commentary. You know, for a, you know, for a Britt Baker. So, and I know they did that, but they didn't do it enough. Yeah. And you've got to build people up consistently every week to give people a reason to tune in the week after. Because right now, the if we're gonna sort of like compare WWE to AEW, and I know we shouldn't do that, but I know for a fact that I can watch Clash at the Castle and I won't be surprised by anything and anybody I see.
No.
I'll see things that there'll be new faces, don't get me wrong, that I've never seen before, and I'll be like, okay, I don't know who the fuck that is. But I won't be surprised by anything that happens on it. And that has its pros and it has its cons. For me, more cons than pros. But at least I know I can just tune in, or I can tune into WrestleMania and I'm there, I'm back in it. With AEW, it's like I could tune in 1 week and then I can go, oh, okay, maybe I'll watch it the week after. And it's a totally different show.
Yeah.
None of the faces are there because you're kind of trying to give everybody their turn and you can't. Like, you need to, unfortunately, like, they probably need to just strip back.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, before they signed, like, CM Punk and then the wave of people that came afterwards... Before they signed that, they were getting over 1 million viewers. Now they've not touched 1 million for ages.
That's crazy.
And but that's the reason, because people are like, you know, the Moxley and Jericho match should have got over 1 million.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And it's because everything is so sporadic and it's so, I think, thrown together. I think all these injuries and everything like that have put him in a blind panic.
Mm.
And he's like, well, I've got to pull a show together. Because before that, like, when they were going up against NXT, and NXT was still run by Triple H, AEW was the better show. Now, you would be like, no way, that old school NXT was a miles better show, because it was cohesive and you knew what was going on. And it was just like, now it's just, I don't give a fuck about CM Punk versus Jon Moxley. I couldn't give two shits. I'm excited, because the thing is that it's like they throw everything at you. So you've got an All-Atlantic champion, you've got new trios titles coming. And the titles thing, I don't really mind, because New Japan have got tons of titles. I don't care about that. However, when you watch a New Japan show, you're going to see everybody.
Mm.
And you're going to see all the people you want to see. When you watch an AEW show, it's pot fucking luck who you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got... I don't think it's because they've got too many people. Because you could still manage that really well. Like, you know, every week we're seeing, you know, Sonjay Dutt, Jay Lethal and the big Satnam Singh guy. But they're not really doing anything with that.
Mm.
And then it's like the match will be on Rampage. It's like, well, no one watches Rampage, so who cares? To me now, it's at a point where if a match is on Rampage, I'm like, well, I don't need to watch that because I know it's not forwarding anything.
Mm.
You know, and the thing with, like, you know, using people like Sting the way they use him is absolutely perfect. And he doesn't need to be on the show every week. They need to really, Tony Khan needs to think about what he wants this to be. And I think at the moment, he's literally in his own mad autistic brain is pulling him like in 8 different directions, and as in what he wants the company to be.
Yeah.
Because you can be pulled in 8 different directions by different wrestlers, and you can be like, oh, we'll do this for you, do this for you, do this for you, do. You know, But I think in his own head, he doesn't know what AEW should be.
Mm.
And I think he's trying to throw things at the wall and just see what sticks. But the problem with that is everybody who watches it, you know, because don't get me wrong, it's still an enjoyable show. But you've got like, I can't even remember the fucking Wardlow. You've got Wardlow with a TNT title who's hardly been on it,
yeah,
but comes out and does a walkout with Satnam Singh and Jay Lethal with FTR. And it's like, oh, are they going to be in the trios? No, they're not going to be in the trios tournament. So why did they do that? There's loads of things that as an objective viewer,
yeah,
if you peel that first layer back of AEW can't do any wrong, they're the best. Because I still think, because obviously I don't watch WWE, and we can go into that, we're going to go into that in a minute. You can pull that layer back. And then underneath, there's a lot of issues and a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And they do, a lot of them stem from the fact that they had loads of injuries. But we're 3 weeks out from All Out, and we still don't know that that's the main event. We can guess that the main event is going to be Punk against Moxley. But for me, they should have kept Punk off. But they've shoehorned Punk back into All Out because of, you know, pay-per-view buys, because Punk obviously sells a lot of pay-per-views. To me, what they should have done, because remember that fucking Hangman feud that went on for like 2 years, and the payoff was unbelievable, and the Bucks are out there and they just nod to him, he clotheslines him, and then, you know, and he wins the title. That was fucking amazing. So what you've got now is you've got, okay, we want to do the Moxley Jericho title match. But we're going to do it on a Dynamite, because then on that Dynamite, Punk's going to come out and he's going to chant. No, what they should have done is Moxley against Jericho should have been the main event of All Out. Mm. That should have been the main event of All Out. And at the end of that, Punk comes out.
Yeah.
And then you do a 2-month build between Punk and Moxley, or, you know, if you give it Jericho, whatever. But if we're assuming the same result, then you have your 2-month build to CM Punk Moxley at the next pay-per-view.
Mm.
That's the way they should have done it. But it's like everything is like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's like, oh, you want to have a title match against me, John Moxley, next week? You got it. What? Mm. It's Jericho against Moxley. It's like arguably your two top guys from the start.
Yeah.
And you're giving them a week to sell a fucking main event match on a Dynamite, which was incredible. Why was that not the main event of All Out? Well, the main event of All, the reason why is because they want to shoehorn Punk back in.
Yeah.
It's like, look at, like, to reference, like, WWE. Like, we were like, when we went, we're like, oh, fuck, Balor's fine. Why isn't Balor on this WrestleMania? It's because they wanted to save him for the Raw after Mania.
Mm.
Because they didn't have anything for him. And if they did bring him in, he'd just be shoehorned into something. You know, not saying that at that time it was any good, because it wasn't. But there's certain things that you've got to do for the sake of your show. And I think you're right, is he's doing it for the sake of the wrestlers and not for the sake of the show. Because, you know, everything's an off-the-cuff idea. Oh, in 2 weeks' time, we've got a quake at the lake. What the fuck's that?
Mm.
So we need, oh, because it's a quake up by the lake or whatever, we need a decent main event. Oh, we'll do Jericho Moxley for the title. But the week before, we'll have Moxley go against this random indie guy for the title, who nobody knows. What's the point? You're wasting your time. Like, AEW has got so many people, but not a lot of time.
Mm.
To work with them,
mm-hmm. That's the biggest problem.
But the biggest problem for me is they're wasting time on Dynamite. You've got time that's being wasted on a John Moxley main event against a random guy who is a big indie star. I don't give a fuck if he's a big indie star. Like, who cares about Moxley against this guy? You know this guy's not winning.
Mm.
You know he's not winning. So it's a waste of time. If you wanted to have a main event for that Dynamite, it should have been Moxley and Castagnoli against Jericho and Sammy Guevara. That's the main event of that Dynamite, because that's pushing forward to the Jericho feud. And then you've got this, like the previous Jericho feud, he walked around with an eye patch on for months. Fucking months, because Jericho was trying to recruit him.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. And he walked around with an eye patch. There's videos of him doing karaoke on the Jericho cruise wearing the eye patch.
Yeah.
You know, but now the next one is like, oh, we'll do it in 2 weeks and we'll just, yeah, fuck it. And we'll bring out Lionheart Chris Jericho because it's another one of Jericho's personas that he can try and get over again. I don't know. It's just, it's really bad at the moment.
Yeah, I honestly, I just think it's...
Even though it's an entertaining show.
Yeah, it is. But sometimes, unfortunately, great wrestling matches are not enough.
No.
And it proves it by the fact that New Japan isn't bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can put the blame on the fact that there's a language barrier and it's like people don't, you know, maybe they don't want to engage in the, even in like, you know, with the, you know, like English commentary because they're like, oh no, I hear what the wrestlers are saying. I want to get bought into the wrestlers and I can't. But I think the biggest thing is that it is a purely wrestling show.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you're into wrestling, you'll watch it. There's only a finite amount of people who are just into wrestling in terms of like your broader big audiences.
Yeah. You ain't getting 2 million for that.
No, I think that if I was, it's really fucking, do you know what? I've got to the point where, I know this sounds really bad, I just think it's all downhill from here. I just don't think it's coming back, AEW. I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get steadily worse.
Yeah.
If it were me at the helm of it, I would, if I was Tony Khan, I would watch NXT London and I'd really watch it and note how that moment kind of set a course of action.
Yeah.
That I'm not saying it's because they were in the UK at all, but what I'm saying is that was a really pivotal key moment for NXT. It was massive. It really cemented who were stars and who weren't. And it elevated people you didn't think were stars that then became big stars.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that I would be looking at doing a UK show because it gives a fresh perspective on that European, or anywhere in Europe, whatever. But let's just say the UK, because they're fucking wild. But it's like, I think it's a real fresh perspective of who's over, who's not, the matches people give a fuck about, the ones they're not bothered about, the people that they really want to see, and take note, and take notes, literally, and carry them forward into what you're doing.
Yeah.
And start making some really tough decisions about people. Because everyone's getting a go, and they don't all deserve a go.
No,
and they don't all deserve a go. Sorry, just if you can let me just chat for a little bit. Yeah, but like, they're all getting a turn, and they're all getting to play, but they don't all deserve to play. But they all believe they do, and I think Khan, because he's such a wrestling dweeb, he likes the wrestling side of things, and he likes iconic matches, and he likes. And he's promised a lot of people a lot of shit that he can't really deliver for him. So he's, you know, it's that rock and hard place thing of like, and now Triple H is in charge of WWE. You've kind of got that in your head of like, shit, am I going to start losing some like key people here? So you start, in a way, his game plan is sort of makes sense because like he is legit, literally spreading the risk at the moment. There's no key top person who the show would be fucked without. But it makes the viewing thing really tricky to watch because say if I was a big fan of... Say if I was a huge, huge fan of Ruby Soho. Huge fan. I might not see her for fucking weeks. So then what does that make me do as a viewer? I don't really care. Like, I'll just catch it on Twitter when she's had her, like, fucking 10-minute women's match that they put on that she's going to lose.
Yeah,
if she gets anywhere close to getting the belt, she's going to fucking lose or whatever. Or you know, getting the top prize.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's... He needs to streamline his talent. He needs to really look at the people who are likely to go to WWE and just let them go. Just cut the fat, trim the fucking fat, let them go. They're going to go anyway. But with people he knows are going to go. who are getting tapped up. Let them fucking go. You've got enough. You've got so many people. If he was just, if he got cleaned out and he just got left with, I can't remember his name.
Omega.
I'm never going to remember his name. No, it's fine, it's gone. But if he just got left with, like, someone, he could make it work with that someone, whoever yeah. that someone was, who was, you know, of a certain sort of calibre.
Yeah.
He'd make it happen, and it would be great. Yeah. Because he'd be able then to have some long-term storytelling and be able to actually build people up and make the audience give a shit. Right now, it's like speed dating, wrestling style.
Yeah. Like, why am I seeing Parker Bordeaux and not Miro?
Yeah, why am I fuck?
Why am I seeing, you know, Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal and not Samoa Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I not seeing... It's like whoever the fresh person is, they get a month and then you never see him again.
Mm.
It's like, because Miro's a big deal, and he's never on the show. He's just doing vignettes talking about the House of Black. And then if you put a...
Black is the one I was thinking. Yeah. He was the one I was thinking. If you just got left with him...
He could be the champion easy.
Or you wouldn't be fucking...
Yeah.
If everyone else went, CM Punk went, Brian went, fucking Jericho went, they all fucked off. They all went to WWE. Like, they wouldn't be struggling if they just got left with Black.
No.
It'd be great.
Yeah, because you'd have a streamlined thing. Like, because if they put Aleister Black versus Miro on a pay-per-view, on All Out, Miro's not been on the show for fucking ages.
Yeah.
And it's like, the last thing I remember him doing was his comeback match.
Mm. I can't, well, I've
which
I've
I can't,
seen
which
it,
I can't
so
remember
I
it.
So I presume he's not been
weeks,
on the show.
Weeks ago, he's doing vignettes about Aleister Black.
Right.
And it's like, but you've not... He's not been on the show, so who cares about the match? This is the thing, is I'm seeing people on the show that shouldn't be on it. Like, Parker Bordeaux shouldn't be on it. Like, I'm sorry, but Sonny Kiss shouldn't be on it. That fucking... Just because they wanted to shoehorn a trios team in, you know, the Trust Busters shouldn't be on the show. There's too many people that you this is the thing, like... They got 970,000... They were getting over 1 million. They signed everybody under the sun, and now they're getting less. That's the end of the story, because it's not the same cohesive, great show that it was before. And that's all I've got to say.
Same.
But I am still enjoying it. Like, I still enjoy watching it. But, you know, they're not gonna get back to, you know, they're not gonna grow if this carries on.
It's the growth. They're never gonna achieve growth. It's just gonna, I think, get steadily worse. When it comes to viewing figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they carry on in this way.
Right. I mean, I don't know how much I can be asked going through this, if I'm honest, because it's late and I'm starving.
Okay. Well, we can save it for another show if you want.
It's all the WWE stuff. So it's literally like Return of the Gak, Triple H re-signing everybody, got a few tweets, got a poll.
Why don't we do that in the week?
Yeah, we'll do like, because it'll give us, because the poll's still got like 20 hours left.
Okay,
to go,
well we'll do a midweek show.
Yeah, I don't mind doing it tomorrow.
Like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it
I
another
just,
night.
Right now, I'm starving, and
you're not feeling it.
I'm not feeling talking about WWE.
Nah.
Especially because it is in a positive light, and it's, you know, all the re-signings and all that kind of stuff. I think I wouldn't mind watching a WWE show just to see the difference and to give like SmackDown was last night, wasn't it? So maybe I should watch SmackDown
Friday.
Oh yeah. Maybe I should watch SmackDown and just like go, right, this is you know what I thought of that. Or
yeah, defo.
Let's do that. Okay, so yeah, well, it's not even short and sweet. It's still a couple of hours long show. So yeah, that's what needs to be changed with fucking AEW at the moment. So thanks very much for listening to everybody. We'll do them more regularly. Don't worry. Don't worry. I feel like this is going to be a precursor to a few pretty good shows.
The Dark Knights are drawing in, so you know what that means. In. I'll be watching more wrestling, folks. Summer of Funk is coming to an end.
That's funny. So yeah, until next time.
Cheerio, motherfuckers.
Next time.
It's going to be a gag-heavy show.